Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, and you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. This is a song I'm working on called Elixir of Dragons. Actually, I have a whole album called Dragon Music. I'll tell you about it someday. I'm still trying to figure out a way to get music to you guys because I think, you know, my members, if you're my member, you've been listening to my music, which I've been doing for a few years now, as far as the radio show. So I have a bunch of stuff I do in the beginning of the show, and at the end of the show, I usually play one of my latest songs. As I said, this one's called Elixir of Dragons, and I'm working on a few other ones. I just enjoy writing music and doing artwork. It started 2 years ago. So today, this show is called Don't Panic, It's Organic. Those of you have been listening to before, I put the last show up on the podcast, so it's up on the Don't Panic, It's Organic podcast. And the members, of course, are getting it through the members podcast. And it goes out a bunch of other different places. And it's now, my Invisible Garden Network is now, BBS Radio is now the home of the Invisible Garden Network, where I'm hoping to produce bunches of really cool shows on here. I've already been talking to people to be guests, different organizations. I have a lot of friends. They're professional friends in the same business. Well, not in the same business, in the same field, in the same industry. A lot of my friends are professional organic farmers. I'm convincing them that homeowners, which is what I deal with on the other end of the spectrum, have soil too. And it's the same, and the things that they're into, the homeowners would really love to understand. The gardeners would really love to understand. The organic farmer, you know, the organic gardeners or the organic profession, if you're an organic gardener, you're going out to do work and stuff. This is information you really should know. And I have 21 books out. By the way, before I forget, because I've been doing this since the sixth grade. Sixth grade, went out and started talking in front of my class. Teacher said, "Well, you know so much. Why don't you just come up here and tell us about this nitrogen stuff?" And I said, "Okay, fine." Anyway, before I forget, I have things written down because I'm trying to, you know, be professional. And, you know how that works. Anyway, so I have a contest. It's an ongoing contest, and every month I try to give out something slightly different. And I'm working on a new book. As soon as the book gets printed, I'll be part of the contest. You know, I've always done that. My first book is called "How to Heal the Earth in Your Spare Time," which kind of brings me back in a little circle because the people I was talking about, the professional organic farmers. They run there's a publication called Acres USA. Acres USA, you should pick up on it. It's really excellent. It's called The Voice of Ecoculture. It first was started by a guy named Chuck Waters, and when he died, his son took over. His name's, I think it's Charles Walters now. I'm hoping I get that right. But anyway, lots of information there, which is exactly what I deal with. This particular issue is on soil health. So anyway, I have a contest, and the contest, what I like to do to give, usually sometimes I will give away my book, How to Heal the Earth in Your Spare Time, or the second book was Natural Pest Control, Alternatives to Chemicals to Home and Garden. I have over 20 books, you know, there's a whole list of them up on the, as a matter of fact, these guys here were kind enough to put all my books up there. There's Dances with Ants, Natural Ant Control. I have a Natural Flea Care one. Of course, I have one on Organic Gardening, Natural Rose Care, Natural Lawn Care. There's, like I said, 21 of them. The latest one is called Don't Panic, It's Organic. And this time I'm publishing it myself, but as soon as I get printed, I send it to Acres USA. I'm hoping to do some articles to them and stuff, too. But anyway, the contest, I tend to give away what's currently going on in my mind and stuff. Okay, so one of the things I've been giving away lately for the last year is called Invisible Gardeners Growers Kit. And basically, you don't know, those of you who have been listening to me for years know that I'm kind of like, I have invented a bunch of different things, and one of them is called Super Seaweed. So that's what I use in my natural spraying service. I go spray people's yards and trees and stuff like that. The microbiological activator. One of these shows coming up, I will go over everything again, what I do to make it, how I started making it, what's in it. Very few people can actually follow through with the whole thing. You have to be really, ridiculous about it in terms of going through the list, because it's an enormous amount of endo and ectomycorrhiza, different types of microbial things in there. You talk about compost tea. You take a cup of this and 55 gallons of water, and you percolate the water through it, air through it. You're going to have 55 gallons of most amazing compost tea you've ever had. Anyway, I take that and I spray it on people's properties and stuff like that, but I give it away. It's a monthly contest. It's called a grower's kit because I also give away 5 pounds of Invisible Gardener's Rock Dust Blend. So rock dust is something I would be talking to you about. Matter of fact, I think it's on the list today. But really what I'm doing is online classes. See, I started doing these back in 1970. And they're called Don't Panic, It's Organic. That's how I got the copyright to it, because I started doing online classes. And actually, in 1970, I started when I got out of the service. Yeah, I went into the service in 1968, 1969, and it said 1970 somewhere along the line in there. Maybe the spring, summertime, I got out of the service. I immediately started doing a radio show, Don't Panic, It's Organic, in the local station there. I don't remember the cost then. It was a lot. for me, it was a lot, but it seems to have, it varies throughout the year. The last one I did was a show in Santa Barbara. That was quite a few years ago, about 10 years ago. I would drive up there. I think it was $1,500 an hour, and I did one a week. And I had a bunch of people with me. We did ads. People would pay to advertise to be on my show. Different organic products, organic services. Now I don't do the ads anymore, but I'm still into the organic products and organic services. Anyway, so the contest of what you win will change, will vary. Lately what I'm doing is I'm giving away a lifetime membership to the club. The club is $20 for a lifetime. And when you join, you get my 20 books. They're not printed version. The only one in the printed, well, I did the few of them in printed versions, but they disappeared very fast, and there are no more printed versions. As a matter of fact, you can buy a few of them on eBay and stuff like that, one of those printed versions that are left. The new one that's coming out now, Don't Panic, It's Organic, I had printed it. I printed it in the 5x6 format, or 6x9 format, but I looked at it, and I said, well, I want to sell millions and millions and millions of copies of this book. I want to retire. I want to be doing this radio show in my hammock underneath a coconut, or I was going to say coconut tree, but underneath a mango tree. And it's nothing like being in a hammock underneath a mango tree waiting for the mangoes to ripen. Oh, I said, could you give me a moment of silence? No, anyway, so in order to do that, I decided it has to be, like, perfect. This, because I gave copies to 6 friends, different professional, different field here in Malibu when we had a little meeting. And they all basically said, well, I'm having a hard time reading, following, understanding. It's too many fonts. They all had different things that were telling me about. And I said, cool. So I got it. That's what I was here for. And I got the message, and I have already edited 5 times, okay? So it's not the editing, even though I have a strong urge to add more to it. And I'm already working on, 3 other books. One is called Invisible Gardener. That's my name, and it's all about Invisible Gardener. Another one's called Invisible Gardening, which is also the name of the music I write. But it's the whole inner gardening kind of thing, of yourself, Then I'm doing one called Energetic Healing. So I guess I'm doing 4 books. There's another one. So I do a column every week. I write a column for my local paper, and I'm doing columns for other papers and writing articles and stuff. So I'm putting the column together, lots of about maybe 8 years' worth of columns, and publish that also. So anyway, the number, by the way, I've had a few people who emailed me saying that I was off, because last week, I don't know if you noticed, I told everybody the show was from 12 to 12:55, and it really wasn't. I spent a little bit of money, and I published it in Facebook, and all those people went to looking for it, and it wasn't there. And so, people don't, one link, and if you're not there, you're gone. if it doesn't work right immediately, they're gone. So they weren't going to stick around and see what was going on. Okay, just put them on, please.
This is John Herrick.
Hey, John.
My question is that I've read somewhere in your blog that vinegar increases bricks in the plants. And basically, my question says, how can acid increase sugar level?
Well, what is vinegar but a fermented sugar?
Oh, really?
If you do too much vinegar, it'll kill a tree. I don't. Did the blog say you can? Did I say you can add vinegar to water and spray your plants or something like that?
Yes. Yeah, something like that.
Okay, because you know normally I wouldn't quite say that because, yeah, you could if you knew what you were doing. Because more likely, it's like you know. It will always do it. It's way too strong. You'll probably burn the plant if you do that. But it would raise the bricks level. But it would bring it right back down. Normally, I would have to look at the whole thing of what I was saying because to me I wouldn't tell you or an average person. Yeah, you add a little bit of vinegar. It must have been like a teaspoon or a drop or something, right?
Well, it didn't mention how much.
Okay. I have to be real careful in terms of, you know, I'm pretty sure throughout my old age, I've gotten to where I've tried to be really careful when I tell people what to do, you know, because they don't know what they're doing. If I say it wrong, they're just,
right.
So normally I wouldn't tell you, well, spray your plant with vinegar, you know, because I would say no, I would say, why do you need to spray your plant with vinegar, right? Was there a reason why you wanted to raise the bricks? I mean, of the, what plant, what were you talking about? What do you, you know, what plant or what?
You know, I just presumed it's in the garden somewhere. I didn't see a specific plant that you were working on from memory.
Oh, no, I was talking about you. Did you have a specific plant or a flower or something?
Oh, I try and increase the productivity of my tomatoes every year. So, you know, is it applicable to tomatoes?
Right, right. So... have you gotten a refractometer and figured out what the tomato brick level should be?
No. I bought one of those units, but I haven't actually tried it yet.
Where'd you get it online? At eBay?
Online, yeah, through Amazon, I think.
How much did you pay for it?
You know, it was at the beginning of the year, and it got set aside, so I really don't remember.
Make a guess. It wasn't more than $100.
No,
right?
No.
Right, but I have four refractometers. I have one that's $10,000. I have one that was given to me because I've been talking about refract. Yeah, is that the Leica people are one of the people who make the refractometers, and in 1970 something, I was talking about bricks, you know, and how I got into the whole bricks thing. Basically, it was my mother's fault because we would go shopping. You know, my mom would take and bite something, and it was sweet. She'd take it. If not, she'd give it back, and eventually the guy would just cut her a piece, you know. And I'd say, well, it's sweet. Well, we like sweet stuff. But anyway, so I got, and then I went on to eBay. I bought a refractometer for $35 for making beer, another refractometer. That's a call it analog. Basically, you look through it. There's two types of refractometer, an analog and a digital. So I also bought a digital. The cheapest digital was $300. So I figured, okay, I get the digital, and then I bought another analog for a couple hundred dollars. And then I have this $10,000.
Mine must be analog.
and I have the $10,000 one. And they all give me the same reading. And for a tomato pencil.
Oh, really?
yeah. It's identical. They give me the identical. The $35 one is the same identical reading. It's a $10,000 one. The digital one is really a pain in the butt to deal with because you can't go outside with it because the sun makes you can't see it. You have to be real careful with it. And battery, you know how the electronics is like, gee whiz, it's not it. You have to keep it clean, really, really super. Whereas the analog, you just, like a gun, you carry it around, you keep it clean, you're fine. Anyway, a tomato, so you know you could measure the bricks of the not only the tomato itself, but the plant itself.
Right.
Right?
I was figuring about that. I was going to do it on the plant, you know, on the leaves. Is that
right. So when you do it on the plant, that tells you how healthy the tomato is, the tomato plant. And it gives you an indicator whether or not you're going to get attacked by a bug or a disease or something, right? I assume you're organic, right?
Yes, sir.
Where do you live at?
San Jose, Northern California.
Oh, I have I have a lot of friends in San Jose. So it was a beautiful town when I was there. I heard it's gotten really big and just expanding and all that stuff. So I don't know. But anyway,
yeah, their freeways are as bad as L.A. now.
Are you making compost?
Yes, I have a compost bin.
Okay, could you tell me a little bit about what you're doing to make your compost? Because the secret to the bricks, right, is the compost.
Oh.
That's the compost.
This past window, I used straw, kitchen scraps, coffee grounds, some steer manure, I think, I threw in there, and once in a while, grass clippings.
Okay, so are you reading my blog or listening to my show or what?
I just got acquainted with your whole gig about 2 weeks ago, so I haven't...
2 weeks ago, okay. All right. Well, I've been doing this for a long time, and after a while, I know I repeat myself. See, so it's like, But anyway, see, the whole thing is that because normally I wouldn't tell people to use vinegar to raise your bricks level. It will raise your bricks level, and I use it at one drop in a gallon, and I only use it on certain plants.
Wow.
Yeah, a drop in a gallon will raise the bricks level of the plant, but you have to understand this. Or you want to raise the brick level, and you want to get it up and keep it up. Us boys can talk like that, right? You want to get it up, right, get the bricks level up, and keep it up, not get it up and all of a sudden it goes back down again. That's the problem with chemicals. Chemical fertilizers, high nitrogen fertilizers, will raise the bricks level really fast, and then it'll lower than it was before. See?
Oh, wow.
And so the compost is the key to it, because really what I tell people, what bricks do, bricks is the measurement of sugar, okay? So it normally is meant for wine and, you know, juice, all those things have to do with sugar, right? Right, but it's also, plants use sugar in their system through photosynthesis and make their own sugar. So basically, you can also measure, that's why a tomato plant, you can measure the tomato juice, the fruit, and the juice of the apple, whatever. But that's why you can also measure the plant itself, because the plant will have similar sugars in there. But what it really translates to is that the higher the bricks, the more the minerals that plant will have. When you look through a refractometer, did you have tomatoes already? Did you look? You didn't. Wait a second.
Yeah,
you had a refractometer.
I pulled them all out.
Wait a second. You bought a refractometer and you put it away and you haven't used it.
Right.
Oh boy! So I was gonna say, what's the bricks level of your fruit, right? Or your tree, right? Or the plant, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, you're gonna have to bring it out. You have to use it, right?
Yeah,
you gotta use it. You use it on everything. I mean, when I got it, I started using it on the lawn, on the roses. I was president of the Rose Society, and I said, well, I know why my roses are doing good, and I didn't have to do a bricks level on them. So when I do house calls, I don't really have to do that bricks thing anymore, because you can tell, you look at it and go, but I think a lot of people don't believe me. I said, if you have this device, and this device tells you this, then you got to believe the device, And so you have to get your compost together. One of the things that's missing in your compost, and that's why I started trigger this whole thing, is because I always talk about rock dust. I'm assuming
use azomite in the planting hole, so I should put it in my compost bin also.
All right, so the thing is, azomite is only one type of rock dust. Did you hear what I was talking about before?
Uh-huh.
I make a rock dust blend. I basically get 9 or 10, because I got some more sources of rock, and you blend them together. And the reason why I do that is because they all have different, they're abundant in different trace minerals. Some don't even have, usually the rock dust, I haven't found one rock dust that has all of them. Some have more, like for example, I get a source of rock dust from Southern California with 30% calcium. Wonderful. See, azomite, it doesn't have 30% calcium, it may be 2% calcium. Right? See? And then there's glacial rock dust. There's gypsum, there's soft rock phosphate, colloidal phosphate. All these are form of rock dust. See? Gypsum, it's a 30% sulfur. So the trick is you don't have to buy massive bags of this stuff. One of the things I'm happy to do, if you email me, I'm happy to give you a link to this one place that has tons of rock dust, all different kinds in smaller amounts, 5 or 10 pounds size rather than 50 pounds. And then you blend together, you can have a wide range of minerals, see? And that's what you want. And remember, it's trace. You only need a tiny amount. And yes, what you want to do, the best thing to do is add it to your compost. So you had steer manure, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what you want to do is become a little bit of an investigator and find out if there are all the different sources of animal manure you can get. When I started doing this in 1970, I actually started in 1956 as a kid, but 1970 is when I got back from the service and I really started the business and all that stuff. As a kid, I wasn't really worried about supplies and resources and stuff. I would go to the store. I mean, make my own stuff, fish emulsion, coffee, cream, and sugar, or spray, Dr. Bronner's, you know. But when I got into business, I really wanted to get resources and make stuff. That's how I started making my super seaweed. But the rock dust, you want to get different types of manure. I used to go out into the countryside and get rabbit manure, steer manure, sheep manure, goat. Here in Malibu, you can get llama. I've even gotten elephant manure. You know, it's like, try to find a couple of different sources, right? And you know, you can even buy them in the store, or maybe if you're lucky, do you have like horses over there, right?
Some people do, remote areas.
We have to go out to a drive in the country then, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if
you
can't
get... It would
help
if you had a pickup truck, too.
Yeah, right. So if you can't get all the resources in... Nowadays, what's really cool is you can go online, you can buy lots of different types of mineral sources and microbial sources, which is really cool because that's one of the things I've been doing lately myself, because I can't drive out here and find chicken and all that stuff anymore, so I go online. I was talking about Acres USA. That's a magazine you should get. There's tons of resources for farmers, but you don't have to buy 20 tons of the stuff. You can just get a pound of it or two, what you need. And there's lots of sources of calcium and different types of really cool organic mineral sources. Then they only have acetamide, they have all kinds of other organic fertilizers and resources. Really cool. And that's all you have to do is just buy a little bit of that. But you definitely want to add it to the compost so that you have all this microbial and mineral thing going on there, see? And then your compost, once it's cooked, the it'll work a lot. You know, one of the things you want to add, see, I add, when my business, what I do is kind of weird because people, like a lady the other day said, you know, I didn't believe it, but I saw you, you know, what did you do? I didn't see anything. She paid me when I came to spray, you know, foliar spraying. I have a machine where I spray the leaves and the lawns and the stuff, you know, and it's like not like I'm painting it in color. That's what I was thinking of doing. Maybe I should put some kind of dye in the spray, so when I'm spraying it, right? It leaves like a trail of blue, or maybe put something sparkly. I was telling my guy, hey, couldn't we put something sparkly in there? I was trying to get my friend Jeff, he works for me. I tell him, look, I want you to get dressed in a pink skirt with bright pink shoes on and look really funny and walk around spraying because it's a magic wand. It's like, what part of, you know, and that's always been all throughout my history. People say, wait a minute, that's how I got the name Invisible Gardeners. He was like, he really meant it as a, gee, you didn't do anything. What did you do, right? Who is it? What is this invisible, right? And it ended up that way. So basically you really want to make the best compost you can with all the minerals and all the microbes in it. It's worth it for you because your tomatoes will go nuts, right? And then I have a product called Super Seaweed, which I was talking about earlier, which has all those things in it. Because you take a little bit of that. Originally, I tell people 1 drop per gallon, and of course, they wouldn't do a drop per gallon. They started adding like a capful and then an ounce. I'm going, wait a minute, this, and because you can overfeed the trace minerals. So I reduced the formula, but I always like the concentrate. I went back to the concentrate, and I said, look, you just got to pay attention to how much you give your plants. All you need to add is just a little bit to the plant, to the gallon spray. It's a foliar. And that way you have it coming from the roots, you have it coming from the leaves, and you do a Brix reading on those things, because the tomato plants. Tomato plants should be 23, 24, 25, 28 is an excellent Brix level. If your tomato plant is at 28, your tomatoes will be so delicious and beautiful. On top of that, nothing will attack it. You're not going to get the tomato hornworms. You're not going to get any kind of diseases, because remember, the diseases come from the soil. So if you have microbial life, living soil, and you use I would do a nice acid mulch to it. I use a Zeta Gardenia mix. And no Paremos. Am I helping you out, or am I going too fast?
No, you're doing fine. I was just thinking, I'll have 20 as a target, and I'll let you know next year if I get that high.
What are you going to do? You're going to try to say that again. I missed that. Something about 20.
I'm going to build my compost like you suggested, and then and when I'm growing next year, because I've already pulled all the plants out.
Yeah,
I'll have 20 as a target for Brix and see how close I can get.
20 is not; it's on the low end. And other Brix.
Oh,
remember,
yeah.
I was talking about 28, 23.
28. All right.
Yeah, 23 is starting. 24. And there's another thing about it. Okay, what are you getting? Where are you getting the tomato plants from?
I either grow them from seed or buy grafted plants online.
Okay, so assume you're growing from seed. Where are you getting the seeds from?
Either Burpee or name a couple other sources. I can't. It's not coming.
Okay,
back.
So that's going to be your weakest link. So no matter how good your compost is, no matter how good my super seedweed is, if you ain't got the right seeds, it ain't going to happen. You can be struggling struggling, and it won't work. You have to use.
Is Burpee a good source or not?
No. They don't have heirloom. You want to get organic heirloom varieties. Simple. You want to get seeds that have been grown for generations organically in the compost. They're genetically bred right now to grow in the compost. Anything in Burpee,
well, that's
any,
why
any
I buy
other
the
seed company, right? Any other seed company
but that's
are
why
not
I buy
organically
the
grown.
Plant.
Yeah, so if you get a grafted plant, but again, where is the plant coming from? The genetics have to be there. If they're not there, then they will not be able to take advantage of the compost. Because, you know, the way it works is that you have roots, right? Tomato
right.
has roots, right?
Right.
Right? Hello?
Yes, right.
Right, okay, so, and the roots have roots. The roots have roots. That means there's roots going on from the roots, and there's roots coming out from the roots, and more roots, right, gets tinier and tinier. And all that stuff there, they're supposed to have little creatures that live on, little hairs. And if it isn't genetically built in, it ain't not going to be there. So no matter what's going on in the soil, in terms of microbial working up them, because that's what happens. The microbe gets to the minerals, it eats the minerals, and then it gives it to the plant through the little root hairs, and that's how they get all their minerals up there. And if that's not working, your soil is not going to work. Because one of my members, who's a member now, she was saying, no matter what I give my plant, no matter this organic fertilizer, it ain't doing nothing. And then my next-door neighbor came over and dumped some urea on it, and this thing is beautiful green, so I don't know what's going on. And I can't tell you. And the reason why the urea works is it doesn't need the little hair. That's why chemical fertilizers give the appearance of working, right?
Yeah.
See? And there's a big difference, because the one
correct.
That uses the chemical fertilizer and stuff, you're going to have to use the pesticides and things, because it doesn't have the system. It's like as if, you know, you stop eating. You know how you go to the hospital and they give you this intravenous needle, it's giving you food. But so if you were to stop eating using your stomach, you will die no matter how much food you get in there through the intravenous thing. See what I'm saying? So you really got to look at the genetics of where you're getting your tomatoes from, right? And I would go online, put heirloom organic seeds. You know, there's Seeds of Change. Gardens Alive have some. Well, Gardens Alive is not
the
most.
I'm a member of Seeds of Change, actually.
Right. So you're a member. So there you go. Just go through there, and they have 1,000 different kinds of tomatoes. You know, I mean, get those, and then those will do even. They'll do, you know. You have a hard time keeping him down below a 28 Brix level, you know what I mean? And then
oh,
you
well,
test the
okay.
just to test the plant as it grows. You give it a chance to grow, But as it grows, test it. You'll see that what you're doing, if it's working or not. By the way, before I forget, did you get the address of my website?
Yes.
Okay, well, all you have to do is in the inquiry, there's a little says inquiry, get my newsletter. Well, what I would do is do the inquiry. Don't worry about getting the newsletter because when in the inquiry you say, hey, Andy, I listened to you on BBS Radio, and you just won the contest, by the way. You just won a free lifetime member.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to email you back my Don't Panic, It's Organic e-book. I want you to read it. And any mistakes, I want you to tell me about it because I'm getting feedback from people what I should do and stuff, you know. And then I'll send you a link saying, congratulations, you won. You click on that, and it takes you to the website, you follow in, you enter your password and all that stuff. Then you'll have access to 21 other books of mine, and you'll have access to everything that's on the website. So we can continue, because I'm happy to help you make it better for you, right?
Fantastic.
Right?
Yeah,
and then I would go to Acres USA and get their magazine, and you'll find
that. Magazine.
Yeah, they have lots of supplies, lots of sources of rock dust in the back. One of the places I get trace minerals from is called C90. It's called C90 Trace Minerals, and it has 90 trace minerals. And
how about
sea
crop? Do you like that one?
Sea crop? Yeah, those are seaweeds. Right, so
no.
Sea crop,
no,
sea
this
is
seawater. Without the
sea
sodium.
Water. No,
yes, without the sodium. It's seawater without the sodium.
Well, do they get seawater and process it without the sodium? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they process it away.
Well, okay.
So you're left with everything else.
But you know.
Which I think is a better product
ocean,
than
right?
C90.
You know what's going on in the ocean, right?
Yeah.
But there's also radiation
ocean's
and junk.
Perfectly
in it. Do they
balanced.
Process all that? Do they process all that?
Process all what?
Well, I'm saying basically if you have to be careful with getting things from the ocean nowadays because the ocean is so radiated and so heavy, getting more and more pollution.
Oh, yeah, and it's not from it's not water near Japan and all that other stuff. But the reason I think it's better is that, in fact, I used C90 10 years ago, and then I found this stuff, and it doesn't have the sodium concentration.
I noticed that. And so, wait a second. So you know about C90?
Yes.
Okay, and you're saying there's another stuff that's a little better than C90 because it's not so much like salt?
Yes.
And what's the name of that?
I'll go out and look at the label. Give me
well, we don't have a lot of time, but you know what you could do. I don't know what time it is. I still have time, but
I'll put it in the email when I send it down.
Right. To put in the email to give me like alternative source of C90, and I'll go take a look at it. Because this stuff is like it's like salt. You know, it feels and tastes like salt to me. And so the sodium may just be only have a certain amount of sodium. That's why I only use it as a spray, and then I do it very gently because I don't want to overdo the sodium.
Right.
You know what I mean? But are you using that in your tomatoes?
Yes.
Well, okay, so then...
spray with kelp.
All right, so you're not having any problems then, are you?
The only bug I have to speak of is whiteflies. But occasionally I have something going on in the soil, which is why I moved to grafted plants.
How are you using this new stuff? Are you spraying it on or are you adding it to your you spray it on, right?
I spray it or do a root drench, either way.
Okay, and then all right, so that's basically, because that should be providing you with a lot of trace minerals, which basically should translate to having really good, high, healthy hybrid plants.
I agree.
And you probably knew that you had hybrids because you went and bought a refractometer and you decided not to use it because you figured the plants are doing really well.
Well, frankly, I forgot where I put it.
See, so you were already on the path of checking out your plants.
It.
Yeah, you was already on the path of checking out your plants for the ricks, and you just forgot about it. Your age caught up with you there. So get the refractometer out in time for next year, right? If you don't have it, just are you married? Your wife probably has it. She probably knows where it's at.
Oh no, no, it's in a prominent place in my den now. So
cool.
I can't
so
miss
next
it
year,
next
what
year.
You do is you know do this. So did you have a good crop this year? Did your tomatoes come
yeah.
okay and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, tasty and all that.
Yep.
So I'm betting about, that's probably that's. I'm betting that's yeah. That's why they did that because you're giving it a good abundant source of a wide range of trace metals. See, so. And your refractometer, so I would just do it again, the same varieties that you have. You know, they're doing good with that, you know, because this is not your first time, right? You're growing them, right? You've been growing the same ones for a while, grafting and so forth.
Right.
Right? Okay, so that, and then you got the seeds. Did you get the seeds from the previous batch that you grew?
Yes, on some of them.
But you can't, you see, you
the
can't
ones
get
I didn't
want to
grow again,
me.
I didn't bother.
You can't get any of this stuff past me because, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and you know, you basically that's what I would do. See, if you get it from burpees, okay, it doesn't make a difference where you get it. You get it and you grow it, and from that one you say, well, this one was a really good tomato. I'm going to take that one, and I'm going to grow them again. And then you're going to grow them again. And you're going to pick the best one. Yeah, you're going to end up with the ones that are really the genetically right for there. Okay, yeah. So I would just keep doing that. That's fine. And this time, take out your refractometer. And measure it throughout the growth season, especially when you have the tomatoes are done. And get back when I bet you can have 32, 34, you know. 28 is just, I learned to be mellow with people. You know, I give them realistic goals. I mean, you go to the store and there's stuff at like 4 and 6, okay? I'm going, oh, you know, the guy gives you a little bite. You want to taste? I'm tasting. I go, well, it tastes okay, but. Do you mind if I squirt it on this little device right here? And I squirt it, and it's like, it's a 4 or 6. And it's like, okay, so but what does that tell you? They used chemical fertilizer, pumped it up, right, made it grow really, really fast.
Right.
Nothing in there. As a matter of fact,
you
the tomatoes
the
probably
too.
Don't make it up. They're rotten before you get home, right?
Yep.
So what's your name again?
John Herrick.
Okay, John. So is there anything else you want me to talk to you about? Because I got 10, 15 minutes, something like that. So you're just going to leave me hanging here, huh? Okay, that's fine.
All right, let's talk about biochar.
Oh, yeah, you're using that? You use it? What do you
I've used it last, this previous spring. I got it in January. I inoculated it with... worm castings, compost tea, fish, hydroxylate, and John and Bob's Maximize, and put it in buckets and let it stew there for like 3 months. So I put it in the garden, and I think that helped this year because it was
noticeably
better than last year.
Okay, so the only thing I would do differently is to actually put in there some good microorganisms, and let them start to grow. So mycelium in there.
That's what I tried to do with the Maximize from John and Bob's. Are you familiar with them?
It's called Maximize?
Yes.
It's a maximizer, right? But that doesn't have the does it come with a microbe? Because I thought it mainly was a mineral.
Yes.
Is it earthworm castings or is it a mineral based soil?
It looks a little like earthworm castings plus other stuff. But it has.
Okay, so it does have right.
15 different strains
this,
of bacteria.
Right. If you look at the label, it will have some different strains of bacteria.
Right.
I know it now. Right. So that's different. There's like another 100 different.
But
strains
I also
to
put
grow.
The sea crop in there for minerals.
So I would get. It's called MYGRO. Mygro or GRO.
Mygro. Yes. I have that.
The mycorrhiza?
I got mine from Fungi Perfect.
Right. Man, I can't get anything past you. You want to be a regular on my show? Okay, so Fungi Perfect
sure,
is perfect.
Why not?
And did you add the mygro to it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, cool. And then what did you let it did you put it in a wooden box or what did you do? Put it
I put them in 5 gallon buckets.
Okay, I put mine in a wooden box. Okay. Did you get any microbial growth on it? Did you get any?
Yeah, I could see fungi growing in it.
Cool. And then what did you do with that?
I mix it into the top 3 inches of the garden.
You mix the whole thing into it, right? Okay, let me
yeah.
give you a couple of ideas of what I've been doing. So I call them tree vents, and they're basically what I do. What I started doing in the sixth grade, when I did people's properties, and if I did it right with my compost and stuff, because I was using mushroom compost, where they make mushrooms out of it, right? So that stuff is
mm-hmm.
full of mycelium. So if you grow that anywhere, you're going to get mushrooms growing, right?
Right.
So I would mix it in, add top dressing on people's lawns. This is on the sixth grade to the ninth grade. And always in Miami, it rained regularly. So it means that people will call me up, Andy, there are mushrooms on the lawn again. Oh, God, there are mushrooms growing over here. There are mushrooms over there. I go, yeah, good. That's great. And they said, you're crazy. You don't want mushrooms growing. I go, ay, ay, ay. So... So what I learned to do is to make little colonies. So in essence, what you did there, you basically continued in the ground. So what I do is I got clay drain pipes. These are little round pipes that are usually, in Malibu, they're called wine holders. Because they're basically a little round pipe, and they stack them up to put the wines in there. But they're a little round. They're about maybe a foot and a half, and about 4 inches round. The clay drain pipes are made out of clay. Clay is paramagnetic.
And okay.
One day I thought, you know about paramagnetic things?
No.
Okay, well, I'll talk about it on my show.
All right.
Basically, you put them in the ground, and then you take that very same mixture that you have, and you put that into this little unit there, and you put a top on it. And so what happens is that becomes a little colony, and it starts to grow. And what I do is I run a little drip, I put a drip head on top and run a little water through it, through the drip system, and the water gets goes through a fertigation unit. A fertigation unit, basically, it was originally meant you plug it into your lawn, your sprinkler system, but you put, you know, your chemicals in it, and the chemicals slowly go out. I said, well, it's such a good idea, but I have other ideas why I want it to go out. So I would put compost tea in it. Or you can do, you know, compost tea is perfect because it has the little microbes. It goes out all the time. You know, you just have to change the compost on a regular basis. That's why I made my super seaweed. You put it in there. But if you can basically filter it out because, you know, city water nowadays will kill anything growing. So, and if you run a little water through it, the microbes will grow and it'll start to grow, expand out in that on the property. If you do it anywhere near a tree or any other, they all will get the benefit of it because they'll start to grow. And you just have to be careful not to, you know, to destroy it by overwatering, using fertilizers and all that stuff. So what you are doing, you want to have it actually growing in the ground, certain areas on your property, especially if you have a garden. And so you do it in the garden area, but you do it in other areas of your properties too. And if you don't forget to water, because if you don't water, it'll dry out, right? It'll be dead. So if you give it a drip on a once-a-week basis, a little drip going through it, and you look in it, you'll see that the microbiota will actually be growing, and you have your property will be more alive, and everything will have a higher Brix. Because, you know, the Brix level for the trees should be high, too, and the Brix level for the hibiscus. And if you're getting the white flies, it could be any number of things exotic that's missing. That's why your rock, it goes back to your rock dust, see? And probably you're getting some of it from the maximizer, but the maximizer is still missing. But if you're using the 90s, then I would be at a loss as to why, you know, the white flies. So it could be maybe, are you using any type of other type of organic fertilizer or not? Let me ask, are you using any type of chemical fertilizer? You can tell me.
No, absolutely not.
You're not using the Miracle-Gro, any of that stuff, right? Are you using any?
Oh, God. My son-in-law uses that, and I can't get him off it.
He uses it at your place?
No, at his place.
Okay, right. So he doesn't use it on your tomatoes. Sneak over there and spray your tomatoes with it.
No. I spray his tomatoes.
are you using all type of organic fertilizer?
Yeah, I use John and Bob's product line. So you can go online. It's just John and Bob.
Their fertilizer
is Biosol, and it's a byproduct of making some antibiotic from Australia.
Yeah, I know.
And,
I know the company. Are you? Do you have is it heavy foggy over there?
No, it's not particularly foggy where I live.
Okay, so next time you get the white fly, here's something you can do. It's really, really easy to spray with. Get some boiling water. Get water, you know, running through your turn it on. Turn on the hot water. Let it get really, really, really hot. Personally, what I do is I boil water and I pour it into a little sprayer, but you can have the water running really, really hot to where you can't stick your hand in it, you know, it's really, really hot. Put in the sprayer, run out there and spray it, miss the white flies with it. It won't hurt the tomato plant, but it'll kill the white flies.
With hot water.
Right, and the way you can tell it won't kill a tomato plant, spray your hand with it. You'll feel it, but it won't be enough to burn you. But it's enough, it gets the white flies hot enough, right? It raises their temperature, it kills them. It'll do that with any soft bodied insect. Another thing, you drink coffee?
Yes, love coffee.
Right, so coffee will kill the white flies dead too. Just have to be careful.
And not too acidic.
My problem with spraying. Yeah, well, my problem with spraying coffee on the tomatoes is that if you do it too often, your tomato will have the definite coffee flavor.
No.
So another thing that kills white flies is garlic. So garlic will kill them on contact. So all you have to do, it's a couple of different ways you can do it. You know, they have a product called garlic barrier, which is like 100,000 bulbs of garlic in a gallon. You only need a little tiny bit of water and spray. But you can also go to the 99-cent store and buy a crushed garlic, right, and put it in a pantyhose, squeeze it out into the water, and take a little bit of that and spray your tomato plants with it. And if you do it right, you kill all the white flies. But you also have this great-tasting tomato because you will have the garlic taste to it.
What's the life cycle of a white fly?
Well, at least 3 months, 90 days.
Three months?
And it could overwinter if it doesn't freeze. So if you don't have a cold enough wintertime, you're going to get them again in the springtime. And that's only 90 days depending upon the weather. So if you have an unusual wet season or you have fog or you're watering a lot, you can actually extend the longer. They can go 120 days easy. And if they do that, it means you have a lot of them. And that means that when it comes wintertime, if you had white flies before, ideally you want to start treating during the wintertime, you know, whatever plants you have. But in your case, you have the tomato plants. You throw them away, right, when they're done, right?
I throw them away, yes.
Right, so...
How about neem oil? Are you a proponent of neem oil?
Neem oil is one of your top-of-the-line defenses. You want to use them as a last resort, because if you start using them right away, you're in deep trouble if it gets past you. So that's what I tell people. Try the hot water first. Things, you know, you'd be surprised. You want to kill them. You don't care what you do care what you spray. If you spray hot water and it kills them, gee whiz, right? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the coffee will work, and so will the garlic. Those things will work, and just don't mix them. I did, as a kid, I used to mix garlic and coffee together. It's like, ugh. I don't know if I should drink it or eat it or what, right? But you don't need that. The neem oil will do it, just like the liquid pyrethrum will do it. Lots of other things will do it. And the neem oil, you should only do that if you have a really bad infestation. You want to knock them down at first, and then you... but ideally, you also really need to look at what they're attacking. Usually, when they attack a plant, it's telling me that there's something wrong with the plant. The plant's stressed out. Something's going on. Not enough light. Too much water. And so, if you don't pay attention to that, you're always going to get the Wi-Fi. Yeah.
All right. Well, good. I'll try that next year.
Okay. So, thank you so go to my website, invisiblegardener.com. Click on the inquiry there. Say, hi, Andy. I talked to you on the radio. Let me in, and I'll send you a link. As a matter of fact, anybody that's listening on the show, because I get a lot of people listen to it through a podcast. I have a police officer who says, I can't call you. I'm driving in a motorcycle. Another guy's fishing. So the podcast does go out lots of different places. They can just do the same thing. Say, Andy, I heard you on the radio show. You're talking to John. I'm not John, but let me in and give me your, make sure you have your email there, and I'll be happy to send out. Electronically, I can give out a billion memberships, but it won't bother me at all. So it's not like sending, You're going to get my latest book, and I have to fill it and send it. You know, I'm getting old. So go out there. That way you'll get the membership and you'll get the book. I'll send you a copy of the book right away, email. You know, it's a PDF.
Okay.
It's an e-book. Okay? And if you got any questions anymore, here I am. And
thank you.
Feel free to listen, okay, and invite your friends and so forth.
I will.
I have more people coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, okay?
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Bye now. Okay. Let's see. What was I doing here? I was not doing anything. No music, huh? Gee whiz. Anyway, so I have a few more minutes to go. And you'd be surprised how they come out once they come out, because he's only been listening for a few weeks. So it's like when my listeners, when my normal followers find out I'm on here, because they've always been complaining about not being able to call and talk to me, you know. Because the shows I've done before on the internet, I usually tape them before, and I stopped going out to the real world, you know, and I like this because there's a studio man on the other end of this line over there taking in the calls and, you know, that kind of stuff. That's really cool. And then once this show gets done, it will, you know, I'll get a copy of it and I'll post it on the various different other little podcast things that we got going on. It goes on iTunes and members will get it. So check out the website. If you're listening to it, might as well get the free membership. You get 20 books and lots of stuff. You get my help if you think I can help you, right? You never know. But listen, I've been doing this a long time. I didn't give out the number or anything to call. You just have to go to the website. It's a little late to be getting any more calls right now anyway. If you go to my website, it's up there. If you go to this website, bbsradio.com or invisiblegardener.com, you'll see radio show. And it'll say, live, right now, live. I'm thinking of getting a flashing, live. And then the engineer swears to me that he's going to help me figure out a way to get it so I don't have to talk through the phone. I want to do it through the mic, and I want to be able to play my music. Right now, I don't understand why I'm not getting any music out, because I could have sworn I was already set up just to play something off at my TV, you know. But usual, that's what happens. It's not making any noise at all. I love computers. They just figure out, they have their own lives and they do whatever they want to do. I can never. Oh, I know. No, I don't know. Is this still, am I still on, engineer? I guess so. Never mind. He would have told me if I was just sitting here and it was just blank. I didn't hang up, did I? No. No, I don't know what to do. I guess I'll just keep talking until somebody tells me to shut up. I have a bunch of questions that people have been sending to me. So the thing to do is, normally it won't take this long, you know, but I love talking to people. It's great. I have about 4 questions. Yeah, so I have a minute left. So if you have questions, send it to me. Sooner or later, I will get to them, you know, if I can't, because like I said, I got 4 questions that people have sent to me, email me. You get the email from the website, invisiblegardener.com. Easiest way is you just do inquiry there. While you're there, you might as well sign up for the newsletter. Like I said, forget all that stuff. Just say, hey, I heard you on the radio on bbsradio.com. Let me in. I would like to win. I want to win, too, and I'll make you a free lifetime member, okay? That way you don't have to get the newsletter, because when you get a member, you get the newsletter, you get all my radio shows, because my members get everything, including my music, when I'm on as a guest. I'll be back here next week, and it's from 1 to 1:55, which is like pretty soon, any moment now. So thank you very much for listening to my show, and happy growing organically, of course. Bye now.